the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, Pericles, Prince of Tyre. Pericles, Prince of Tyre, was written about 1608, or so the chronological works of Shakespeare would have you believe. And Pericles is a good and righteous ruler. His neighbor, King Antiochus of Antioch, he has a daughter of some renown that Pericles intends to woo. But in order to do that, Pericles has to solve the father's riddle. If he gets the riddle wrong, he's going to have to die, like so many other would-be suitors have done, and their corpses are strewn about the palace of Antiochus. Pericles deduces the meaning of the riddle, namely that Antiochus has an incestuous relationship with his daughter, and as such, Pericles begs out and leaves. Antiochus is trying to be nice to him, and at some point, I think Pericles has a line that says, "'Tis time to fear when tyrants seem to kiss." I totally blew that. Oh, well. I'm going to keep going anyway. He bails, and Antiochus is fearful that his secret's going to come out, and so he dispatches this assassin to take out the ruler of Tyre. Back home, Pericles tells his right-hand man, Helicanus, the sordid details, and Helicanus advises Pericles to get out of town until the heat dies down. Helicanus promises to serve his lords in his stead, and thus we get into a bit of a round of ourselves here, but Helicanus is actually a good guy and is good to his word and doesn't betray his lord, which is interesting. I fully expected that. It didn't happen. Helicanus, good guy. Pericles and his ships come to the shores of Tarsus, where the populace is starving. And Pericles shares his grain and saves the people and the land, and it befriends the Tarsus's governor, Cleon, and Cleon's wife, Dionysia, I think. Pericles has other places to go and sets off on the high seas. Unfortunately, a tempest wipes out his fleet and shipwrecks him, and he washes ashore on the shores of Pentapolis, I think. There he impresses the king, and he marries the king's daughter, Thasia. They seem happy, all the more so once Thasia is with child. And then Helicanus sends word from Tyre that Antiochus and his daughter have both died. And so that problem solved. But at Tyre, the nobility want to crown Helicanus in Pericles' absence. And Helicanus tells Pericles, "You got to get home quickly. This is not for me. You need to be ruler. This is not how it's supposed to go." So Pericles and Thasia board their ship and sail for Tyre. Alas, another tempest strikes, and Thasia, meanwhile, is giving birth in the midst of this tempest in a nice, an incredible scene, actually. It's really kind of amazing. But anyway, she seemingly dies during childbirth for their daughter Marina, and she's named Marina by Pericles in honor of the sea and whatnot. Amidst the storm, the sailors convince Pericles to throw Thasia's corpse overboard to appease the seas and calm the storm. So Pericles seals up his wife's corpse, supposedly, in a coffin and with jewels and then this letter saying what has happened and everything and drops it into the sea and can't believe that he's done that. The coffin, meanwhile, washes ashore where a noble is miraculously able to restore her to health, but she's despondent at obviously her trials and tribulations and her believed loss of her family and her daughter and her husband and everything. And so she vows to serve the rest of her days as Diane's high priestess in the local temple. So anyway, meanwhile, Pericles returns to Tarsus and asks his friends Cleon and Dionysia to look after his daughter, which the pair are only too happy to do because, you know, Pericles had given them food when they were desperate and they're friends. That's fine. So Pericles sails home to Tyre. 14 years pass, and Marina has grown into a beautiful young woman. Her renown outstrips even Cleon and Dionysia's daughter, which irks Dionysia to no end. There's a little bit of a shades of Snow White here, and I'll explain why I'm making that reference at the end of this, because there's a lot of fairy tale qualities. I'll just do it now instead of saving it for later. That's ridiculous. There's fairy tale qualities, and a lot of critics have called it sort of a fairy tale type thing. So anyway, bear that in mind. Dionysia plots the murder of Marina. But her assassin is scared off by pirates. Awesome. Pirates. Okay. They in turn sell Marina to a brothel, but despite many attempts to turn her out and turn her into a prostitute, Marina is just too good and always convinces the Johns to rethink their lives. Business turns so bad that the pimp and madam have to send the girl off to a better home with noble women and good women, where Marina develops something of a reputation as a real charming virgin, really like a schoolmarm and charming and really... Pericles, meanwhile, arrives in Tarsus only to find the faux monument Dionysia has erected for Marina, and this epitaph about how she died and everything. So Pericles is just inconsolable as he sails off, and he won't really talk to anybody, won't eat. He's just sort of just devastated. And they find themselves on the shores of Mytilene, where, interestingly enough, Marina is. There, the governor, Lysimachus, I think, I want to say Lysander, and I know that's wrong, because this is obviously from a different play, but I think it's Lysimachus. Anyway, this governor guy was charmed out of the brothel by Marina back a couple of scenes ago, he tells Pericles' man, Helicanus, and Pericles himself, that he knows this girl who can help, whose story is amazing, who will turn things around for him. And so they bring Marina aboard, and Marina tells her sob story to Pericles, who is... at first incredulous and then restored by the knowledge that his daughter lives, that he can't believe that her tale of woe is his tale of woe. And he's so excited and everything. He betroths, in fact, his daughter with her consent and his consent to the governor, to the loving governor, Lysimachus, whatever his name is. But before he can sail off for Tarsus to, really give what for to Cleon and Dionysia to avenge all that, he has this vision that he's supposed to go to Dian's temple and pray there. There, the husband and wife and child are all reunited, because obviously that's where Thasia is, and she's the high priestess of Dian's temple, and so everything works out in the end for that family after many years and all kinds of hardships and tempests. So anyway, many critics question how much Shakespeare actually wrote it or rewrote it. A lot of the story and descriptions and plot devices and everything has apparently been borrowed from a guy named Gower who wrote something similar. So much so that I think Gower appears, I'm sorry, but I know that Gower appears as a narrator and provides commentary as a chorus figure. There's a lot of dumb shows acting in with Gower narrating various bits and pieces. And pieces of the narrative itself seem lifted also from the Comedy of Errors, the shipwreck and the families divided and the miraculous recoveries and everything. So, and the mother in the nunnery and et cetera. So, as I said earlier, there's a fairy tale quality to it, that a lot of critics have used this phrase, this fairy tale, Shakespeare's fairy tale, to describe Pericles, Prince of Tyre. And it fits within the darker fairy tales, not the Disney version, not the, talking bunny slippers thing or whatever, but in the darker realms, because obviously there's incest and rape and murder. Good times. A couple of quotes in addition to the one that I've already done. There's a great line in Act 1, which is, "Who makes the fairest show means most deceit." Which is really one of those things that you're like, that should be in a bumper sticker. There's also a great line of, "Opinion's but a fool that makes us scan the outward habit by the inward man, but stay the nights are coming." No, that's not what I wanted. Sorry, scratch that. We should delete that, but I'm too lazy, so tack with it. Instead, let's just call it right there, save for this. In the dramatis personae that opens the play, there's it lists the scene of where the play takes place, and for this particular play, it says, "Scene: colon, dispersedly in various countries." Why? Because this thing is epic, man. Epic. The complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by me, Kevin Hannah.